Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 148. In this episode, we're going to have a discussion on how to do multiple different languages on WordPress for your membership community focus website. It's a strength of WordPress. We have covered this a couple other times during the year, but I thought we would have a quick recap because it's a dynamic area that's changing. And then in the second half, I think we have a quick chat with a video done by Paul Charton from WP Tuts, why he left Circle and went to Fluent Community. And then we have a bit of a chat about some of the AI tools or plugins that have come on our radar lately. Should be a fantastic show. So, Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, certainly. My name is Kurt von Annen. I own an agency called Manana Nomas, and I work directly with WP Tonic and the great folks over at like Lifter LMS.
That's fantastic. Like I say, it should be a great show. We're going to be covering a ton of stuff. You should get some great value from it. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of the show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. I just want to point out we've got a fabulous resource for you, folks. We've got some special offers from the sponsors. Plus, I've got a created list of the best WordPress technology and services to help you build your membership website at the end of 2025 and at the beginning of 2026. You need to get this membership site built, and we've got all the tools to help you. To get all these goodies, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. Plus, we've got a special offer on a course from Kurt himself that will show you how to utilize these tools and build your website from beginning to end, and you get it at a 50% discount. Plus, I want to point out that if you host with WP Tonic, you get access to all these tools as part of your hosting package. So what more could you ask for, my beloved listeners? So let's go straight into it, Kurt. So where do you think we are with WordPress and multi-languages?
I think we're at a crossroads. The more and more I think about it and more that I see the work that I have been doing with Lifter and with WP Tonic, there's certainly a value for translation. I see that people want to do things in different languages. They want to have them. They want to express themselves. They want to be in control of how they are expressing themselves across different languages. But we're also in a time where browsers are doing a lot of translation and where there's a lot of AI injection at different points too. And so I think it's kind of grayed the line a little bit or blurred the boundary on when a business makes the decision to formally translate their site as opposed to allowing some third party to take control of it.
Yeah, because it is work. You know, we support one or two large websites and we have, it's going to be on the list anyway. We tend to recommend and we supply the plugin as part of our hosting package, yeah. Translate Press, and they've been very supportive. But whatever tool you use, it's going to have some hiccups, and it's a very dynamic, moving area, isn't it, with AI,
It's the hiccups that people, it's like they don't they choose not to expect it. That's the problem. It's like... so typical. You know, you might be running a membership website that's doing subscriptions, and you might have 5,000-6,000 people in that website. And then you'll get a one person that says, oh, I couldn't log in, or my credit card wouldn't go through, or whatever. And it's like the sky is falling. The website is broken. Something's not working. And it's, you know, on a percentage basis, if you've got 5,000 or 6,000 users and one's having a problem, that's probably not a problem. It's probably an end user device, an end user VPN connection. There's so many things that interact, and language to me is like a similar kind of thing. Whereas there might be a glitch. There might be an auto translation thing that happens. There might be, you know, hey, this worked great for 3 months and now my receipts are showing this, you know, this weird script that I wasn't expecting. And it's unfortunate, but I think it's like with anything that adds complexity or automation to any project, there's going to be moderation, babysitting, and maintenance that goes with it. And I think that's where so many people are getting frustrated, especially with, you know, the hype about AI and how everything's got the easy button and everything should be automatic nowadays. It's not. There's automations, there's AI. There's processes, but with each layer of complication or automation comes the opportunity for an error, and you need to have people that moderate and maintain that.
Yeah. So let's quickly get through this because we're covering this in the first half. So we got WPML, really popular at the beginning, very popular. I think. Yeah, they're doing okay, but I think there are better solutions out there in the WordPress space, but it's still very popular. One of the things I find a bit bizarre is their pricing page is still only in euros. They don't do it in dollars or pounds.
Not very good at translation, huh?
I wasn't going to go there. So it's 39 euros. Or 99 euros. Have you got any experience with this one?
Actually, WPML did some content with Chris at Lifter. And, you know, I have a memory like an elephant. I think it was like four and a half years ago. And it was really great content. And I thought it was like, you know, earth shaking at the time. My issue is I haven't seen or heard much from them since. You know, it's so they set up a decent product. They set up a great service. They've priced it modestly. It's not hugely expensive. And I think it performs well. But I think if you were an agency, for example, you would be looking at $200 a month, right? Because that price is per month, I assume.
Yeah. Where it had reputation is if you hired a professional translator. It was one of the best solutions if you had somebody doing manual with some. That's where it's strength. But don't get me wrong, AI, it's got the translation better, but it's not perfect.
Mm-mm.
It's not perfect. If you want a fantastic result, you need to utilize one of these tools and maybe at some stage get a translator, but that's a big investment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on to the next one, which is very different. Translate WordPress with gTranslate, really popular as a free resource. They've got a custom at $99, startup at around $20, business at $29, enterprise $39. So they've got a lot of prices. Works with Google Translate, the free service, gives a WordPress interface. But I think they got a lot of traction because it was the plugin to utilize with Google Translate, wasn't it? Would you agree with what I just outlined?
Yeah, and I've had clients on Google Translate before that I've migrated into my hosting and used other tools with. But when people get started, and I got to say this in a way, I don't want to talk down to folks. They get started, they might be in the Google, you know, empire already. Maybe they're using Google Workspaces. Maybe they're using Google Docs for things. And then they see Google Translate. They have Google Translate on their Android phone. It all makes sense. And they're able to plug into things and get going with translations very affordably. But I find that over time, as the project grows, you're going to want a more professional translation tool. I have not used Gtranslate as like a layer above Google Translate. I've only worked with Google Translate. And then I guess this Gtranslate is like a layer on top of that.
Yeah. Polylang, another, been around a few years. I've never used it in anger. It's the same as WPML. They only have prices in euros, 99 free. They've got a free version. They've got a 99 and they've got 139. Do you know anything about this one? It's credible. All the ones I put on there, I think are reasonably credible, but I've never used it in anger.
Had a client on Polylang. I found it to be a little more clunky than what you and I are used to. But it did integrate with DeepL at the higher package.
Oh, it does. Right.
So, but it says 30 languages. And so I know that people listening to this are like, 30 languages, that's phenomenal. There's other translation tools that have like 210 languages. So everything is on a sliding scale of effectiveness. And this is why use case is so important when you're talking about something like translations. Like, what are your specific needs and what languages do you need and at what depth do you need? For instance, the client that I had that was on Polylang that was using DeepL, they were a technical training corporation, and the terms and the nomenclatures used in this machinery were, they had to be precise. It couldn't be like the cog, the wheel, the gear. It had to be like, you know, the Belvel washer. Yeah, like it had to be very specific. And they wanted to use a very specific language translation tool to make sure things didn't get miscommunicated.
Yeah. And you just mentioned, Kurt mentioned DeepL. What that's about is a lot of these plugins use the Google Translate, and it's free, but it's not the best. It's a kind of quasar large learning language model. That's kind of the technology that Google's using, but there's a open source, it's free, but also paid for. You do need the paid version really, because it's token based, and they're based in Germany, and it's DL, and it's a kind of quasar open source, but you do have to pay for it. And it's supposed to be more accurate than Google. But obviously, I'm not in a position, but when I was doing the studying, that's what a lot of people were saying, which surprised me, because Google's got billions of dollars and they've got Gemini and they've got now supposed to be the best large language model out there, better than open. Yeah. So we have to see, but that's what I read.
Before we go too far, I also wanted to point out some of the things that we've been mentioning so far. The free version won't do certain pages in your site. Like, it doesn't do WooCommerce. It doesn't do, you have to get the upper tier or the premier pricing to get like WooCommerce translations or to get other kinds of dynamic page translation. So just to be clear, again, use case, look at the details before you make a purchase decision.
And a lot of these companies are European based, which isn't surprising, because obviously you're in a common market apart from Britain. God. But there's a lot of different languages. So that's why I think a lot of these companies are based in Europe, because, you know, I think in the Union it's over 30 countries now and they're all got different languages. So you want to sell, but you're using the euro. So that's why I would imagine is that's why. And on to the next one, Multilingual Press. Came on my list. Prices start is one of the more expensive ones, $149, $499, and $800, and then Enterprise is like $1,500 a year. Any knowledge of this one?
I've never used it, and I don't think I ever would, to be honest, Jonathan. It's for $900 a year, I get access to 12 languages. For $500 a year, I get access to 6 languages. You and I share a client right? That's using something like 18 languages on their website and has 3,000 or 4,000 users in it. We would not be financially sustainable at this pricing.
No. On to the next one, Weblot.
Weglot.
Pardon?
Weglot.
Weglot. I always pronounce it. Based in Europe, got their prices in, you know, it's the kind of big daddy in the WordPress space, isn't it? It's a kind of SaaS model. You get a plugin, and I think they're doing the translations. They're using, they don't make public what technology they're using. Are they using a DeepL, their own, what large language model they're utilizing? I don't think they make it public. And it started, they got a free, but that's really cut down. And they got a starter, €15, business, €29. They've got a lot of pricing. It goes up to extended at $6.99 per month.
700 a month.
700 a month.
Well, 700 euros.
Yeah. But, you know, if you've got a large e-commerce website doing $1 million, $3 million a month, and you need multiple languages, that's peanuts, isn't it? It's supposed to be, when I used it with a client, it was a few years ago, it was very, very good. I don't know if you've got any experience with it.
No. No, I've worked on sites that used it, but I did not use it itself.
But, you know, in the WordPress space, it's seen as one of the top performers. I thought the one that we offer as part of our package, and I think is the best value still, is TranslatePress. They offered either Google Translate or DeepL, but recently they've done what Weblot do. They've offered their own solution. I don't know where they're getting it from. They must be utilizing one of the large language models. So I know it's a few months they've introduced that. They still offer Google and DeepL as option, but they're offering their own solution as well. And the prices, I bought the plugin. It's also in euros, but I bought the plugin, but the plugin only works with Google and with DeepL. I suppose that's the main difference. These prices, they're monthly, and they've adopted the same model as Weblot, where it's a SaaS-based model as well, where you have access to the solution which they're offering. And it starts at $8.25, business $16.59, and developer $29. Compared to the previous one, that's very attractive, isn't it? Plus, you have the option of you still using Google Translate or DeepL, haven't you?
Yeah, and you know, at $3.49 for the year, that's almost half of what that one was for the month. Like, that's a big, big deal, and that's for use on unlimited sites. So if you're an agency and you're trying to figure out how to maximize your margins, TranslatePress seems to me to be the one that jumps off the page.
And they're a very credible company, aren't they? They've been, you know, they do a great newsletter. They always mention one of my shows. So I feel warm and cuddly towards them. But whatever the solutions you choose, folks, the idea that it's just going to do everything and there's not going to be the odd bug and problem, you're deluded, because it's like adding a community to a membership website. It's a great idea, and in the right circumstance, it's the right idea, but it will cause a lot more work, won't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting to me the way people sometimes think about this. I'm thinking about the two different workflows and two different tools that I get to use in language. One is TranslatePress and the other is LocoTranslate. So
I haven't mentioned that one. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, LocoTranslate, it's real common in the Lifter LMS space. It's one of the recommended resources there. And what we use LocoTranslate for most in the LMS area is it translates the word all through the website. So if you had a thing that was, say your courses are called courses, but you want to call them classes instead, you go into Loco Translate and it says, exchange this English word for this English word. And then we change that term. And so, and that's the way the language thing works as well, right? From English to a foreign language. But it's done in a separate page inside the back end. Whereas when you are making edits in Translate Press, I don't want to say it's like the block editor because that'd be a lie, but it's like you see a representation of the page that you want to translate. And so you click what you want to edit and then you, the field's right there on the left. So the user interface, if you have to get hands-on and do manual translations for part of your translation package, Translate Press is much more intuitive than some of the other tools that are out there.
Well, that was a good roundup. We're giving you some good options. If you want to know some more, think about signing up for the WP Tonic newsletter. I'm going to revamp it. It's going to be aimed at membership with tips and other great content. Think about signing that up. There'll be a link. You'll be able to sign up on the WP Tonic website. We're going to go for our break, folks. And when we come back, we're going to have a chat about Circle, Paul Charton from WP Tuts, why he left it. And also my experience with some of the latest Learning Man language models and Kirk's insights about some WordPress plugins. Should be a great second half. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Got asked here, if you are listening on Spotify or iTunes on your mobile device, why don't you leave us a review? Both me and Kirk will be really happy if you did that. It really promotes the show to new people and it helps the show grow. So if you could do that, we would be really appreciative. So something came on my radar, YouTube video from Paul Charton from WP Tuts. If you don't know about him, folks, he does a load of WordPress reviews and lessons, and it's a great resource if you're getting into WordPress. And he still has his own WordPress Academy, and well, he calls it WP Tuts Academy. And he was using Circle, and he said that he jumped ship because, and it was very similar to a lot of people that use non-WordPress. He said it was about $100, but the price soon accelerated rapidly, you know, and if you wanted to upload a lot of video, it got very expensive. You could use something like bunny.net, but and he said the email side, the email marketing side, integrating, he wanted it to integrate with Fluent CRM. And he just said it just was getting very expensive and restrictive. And it's the same old story, isn't it, Kurt? And he's jumped ship to Fluent Community, which we love. So you probably haven't seen the video. I don't know if you have.
I did.
Oh, you did. What's your reaction to it?
My reaction was what took so long. I mean, just to be honest with you, I don't mean to sound so brash, but, Kevin Geary's group is in Circle. And I just remember when I first signed up for Etch and then got the Circle invite, I was like, what are we doing here? Like I was, you know, I'm just confused. There are great tools inside the WordPress space. And when you are being an outspoken voice in the WordPress market, it just kind of makes sense to have, you know, WordPress spaces. Not to mention, you know, the things we talk about on the show all the time, Jonathan, the membership machine. So is all about, you know, ownership of your platform, ownership of your data, the flexibility of WordPress. And so it's really weird to see people in our space that are well known that still get caught out by the SaaS limitations.
Yeah. And it's a great product circle, but there's no Fluent community now is very strong and it does everything like School or Circle does. And you get the ownership and the cost savings. Because he was saying, especially if you're offering a lot of free content, free courses mixed with, and use it as a lead magnet, don't you? The free courses. He says it gets very expensive if you've got very popular free courses.
Yep.
Which you're going to, aren't you? Because it's going to be utilized as a lead magnet and you hope to get a percentage of those that join the free courses to sign up for the paid courses. But if you're on a platform that you chart, it can get very expensive, can't it, very quickly?
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are people that will listen to this and go, well, that's the cost of doing business, right? If you grow, it's going to be raised expenses. But the whole idea of like what we kind of promote here in our little space is if you make the right decisions, as you grow, you're going to increase your margins and profit. You shouldn't increase your revenue, but lose margin. That doesn't make sense, right? That model doesn't make sense. So you want to stay, at least I would think, as long as you have the design freedom and the functionality that you're looking for, you should want to stay in a platform that you have ownership of and control of.
All right. So the link to that video will be in the show notes. Everything we talk about will have links.
By the way, when people do watch his video, he is a master communicator. He is extending pre-existing people. They're not automatically being like renewed, right? Like when you start a new subscription in WordPress, you have to start a new subscription in WordPress, but he's starting them all with the same expiration date kind of thing. If you watch the video, just pay attention to like his workflow and how he's doing this transition. This is a master study on how to make this kind of transition, do it smoothly and treat people right. He's doing a really good job.
That's a great point. On to my investigations of large learning AI and large learning models. So thought I would, first of all, went back to Notebook LM, which I still really like. I used it for some research that I wanted to do, market research, and it did a fantastic job. At the time, though, when I wanted to do some infographics, and I'm using the free, unless you're doing a high volume, I don't really see a point in going for the pro level. But if I reach the limit, I think it's one of the best tools, AI general tools that I've come across.
Yeah.
But when I was going to use it, they had that blanked off. They said it was temporarily not usable. But I logged in today and it's up again and does some really fantastic infographics, does really good research. You can import PDFs, you can import URLs and it will do research for you. It's one of the more useful tools. I wanted to do some thumbnails, so I went into Google Gemini and used Nano Banana Pro. I can use it because I've got a couple Google Gmail workspace accounts and you get access. And I wasted 2 hours there trying to persuade it to produce some images in landscape and totally failed and got very fed up. Then I came across who was a famous influencer in the WordPress space, Kim Dole, but she has ditched WordPress for various reasons, but I still watch some of her YouTube videos, and she put me on to Google AI Studio and their Image F8. They've got numerous different products out there. And this is one of the problems of Google, I find. It's very confusing. So as part of their Gemini Google AI Studio, you get access to Image FX. It's got a separate UL and a separate interface, and it wasn't totally clear if I log in to Google AI Studio how I could get to Image. It took a Google search to find that one out, but I got there, and it's much easier, and you get landscapes in the right ratio dimensions, and I managed to knock it out, and it did a pretty good job. But it took about 3 hours.
3 hours to...
Which I could have done in Canva in about 20 minutes.
That is... So this is the biggest problem that I'm seeing right now in this whole space. And that is something new comes out. Everybody wants to swarm on it. And they get frustrated or they get mixed results. And in mass, we are doing this. And... You know, we're independent agency people, Jonathan. We're not on someone else's time clock. So it's hard for us to equate this time to dollars. But if we were to break our days into what makes us dollars, this is expensive. This trial and error.
I have better things to do in my 3 hours than part around with trying to get into landscape. I only did it. I didn't realize how much bloody time I was wasting until I looked up on the clock and thought, oh my God. 2 hours plus have gone.
Yeah. So Canva, I can get some pretty consistent results in, and it works in my workflow, and I can do it in a timely basis. But like yourself, I have begun to sample some other AI tools, and I'm getting very mixed results on the image things. But here's something that I constantly forget about that I have access to.
Grok, your beloved Grok. Is that what you're going to say?
Oh, I love Grok. I love Grok. Grok's in my phone. I pick the easygoing voice. He's fun Jesus. When he talks back to me. But he's the one that gave me the rouladen recipe that I made last week that was so delicious.
I interrupted as I always do. What was you
doing? I'm up for the rabbit trail. I like food. In terms of working, I always forget that I'm an Adobe Creative Cloud subscriber, and Adobe has some amazing AI graphic tool that, you know, and they're not part of the normal, they're not the apps on your computer, they're in the browser. So I consistently forget that I have access to them. And I think...
You're talking about Adobe Express, are you?
Yeah, Express. And there was like, just like Google, there's like two or three different versions of Express. And then there's, you know, there's all, so you got to know what you're using. But I find that their tools, once I'm in, are a little more intuitive than some of the other language model AI image generators. For instance, Midjourney, I get lost in Midjourney. And I know people that love Midjourney, but I never get...
I find it a dog's breakfast of an interface, a total dog's breakfast.
I never get what I'm expecting out of it.
No.
It makes cool stuff. See, that's the problem that I have with AI in general, Jonathan, is that people get in there and they play around, especially like people that aren't depending on the real output to be specific, right? So they get in there and they play around and it generates something that looks cool or feels cool or like one of those cool AI videos on Sora. And they go, oh, look at this amazing thing I made. I go, okay, but is it specifically what you asked for? And they're like, well, no, but it's cool. And I'm like, I'm in business. I can't make something that's cool. I need to make something that's specific.
Yeah. Like one thing I couldn't get Image FX to do, I did get some results that I could use, but I thought I would try this. I said, in the prompt, I said, Jonathan Denwood, owner of WP Tonic, landscape ratio, Jonathan Denwood, the owner of WP Tonic, and make sure the background is a picture of London, right? And it did a great job, but it wasn't me. And there's no way of importing some of these. You can import image into it.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with Image FX.
Mm.
You can't import image. Maybe with like Adobe Express, you can. So it couldn't understand. I kept expanding the prompt. It found somebody, and the image of London was fantastic, but it wasn't an image of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I only spent 15 minutes on that, not 2 hours.
Yeah, it's, and I've been talking to more and more people. Like, I find that, especially in our space, when you start talking about AI, everyone acts like they know what they're talking about, right? Because they don't want to act like they can't figure it out. So everyone wants to be smart. But when you start to voice, well, I'm having an issue or I'm having a difficulty, they go, oh, that happened to me too. And then you start to feel, okay, so we're all feeling this way. So everyone's beating the drum talking about how great AI is, and it is. There are some great things to do with AI, but by and large, most people are not getting the precise results they are looking for.
Now, Kim put in her videos, she put me on another AI project. They do offer a free version, but there's paid versions, and it was something called WePost, WePost, epost.ai, and it's a social media scheduler, and it looks pretty good, and you give it URL, your website, and you connect it to your existing, and it sucks all your previous content and analyzes it. And then you say, I want this type of post and I want that type of post. And it knocks it out. And it comes with an editor like Canva. So if it makes mistakes, you don't have to spend a load of days with a prompt. You can go in and edit, because a lot of these don't handle text that well, and they make spelling mistakes. But you do get an editor, like a Canva editor, and then it's got the traditional and I will be looking at it some more. I only done a provisional look at it, but I was quite impressed with this WePost, and it's developed by two guys in Norway. It looks like one of those tools which might be worthwhile having more of a look at. So it's WePost, WePost.ai. So have a look at that. So anything came on your radar in the WordPress space that you want to share on the Membership Machine Show? Because we've had Cyber Monday and Black Thursday and...
I got so much spam over the weekend and in the Cyber Monday that I couldn't even look at my inbox. It was ridiculous. Couple of things really popped off. I know that the Adam Pricer, right? Is that how you say his name? His whole thing with Surecart and Sure This and Sure That and AutoKit and all that. They had some sales. And they have that new SEO tool that they've been pushing real hard. I got to say, I was a little tempted to maybe jump in and play with that one. I did not.
What's this about then?
I hate to compare them directly to, you know, Fluent. You know, as you.
No, know. I meant the SEO tool. What's?
Yeah, that's SureRank.
And why was you tempted?
Because the price was good. It was like
the one to use is SEO Press.
Yeah, I haven't used that one yet.
It's $40 a year. It's simple. All these other complicated tools, they're not really going to do too much.
Yeah, it's a struggle with SEO lately because there's so much conflicting stuff out there. You know, at the end of the day, like when they say, oh, your keywords and your title and your this and your that, it's like, well, I still want my stuff to be readable. I still want it to be in my voice and I still want it to make sense to the people that are viewing my website. But then people will be quick to answer you and say, well, SEO is for the bots to be able to refer it to people to come see your website in the first place. So you're not going to get people to your website to read your content if the bots don't send them there at all. So SEO is a very confusing, contradictory subject for me. But that was one of them. I was real tempted on that. I got involved with Fluent Cart pretty heavy over the last week. And I made a video for Lifter LMS.
Let's tell the listeners about Fluent Cart.
Well, I think Fluent Cart is a game changer. It might be too big of a word. But Fluent Cart is a shopping cart for the WordPress space. The reason I got involved with Fluent Cart is because Fluent Cart Pro has an instant integration with Lifter LMS. And my agency is super big in the Lifter space. And so I said, yeah, let's check this out. So I immediately checked it out and I checked out the integration with Fluent CRM Pro and Fluent Form because we're big on that with WP Tonic. And so I was like, the installation and the setup was amazingly simple. And I'm saying in comparison to, you know, the juggernaut in the shopping cart space in WordPress, compared to Woo, it was super easy to set up. So everything was set up, boom, post haste. If you wanted to put in sample product that like kind of like how Shurcart does the sample product, it was almost the same. It dumped a bunch of sample product in so that you could kind of see the way things are supposed to look, supposed to work. But the integration with Lifter LMS was super clean, super smooth, super easy. And the thing that caught my eye the most was the website didn't slow down at all between like regular web pages, dynamic web pages for courses, or shopping cart pages. Whereas in a heavily used WooCommerce site, I've noticed there's like performance gaps where the site will run kind of slow. The speed seems to be really high. Now, I've done some I've looked at other people's reviews on the product, and I think WP Tuts is one of them, where he's like, it's super fast, it's super lightweight, it's, you know, the performance is unbelievable. I think that'll come over time because I'm actively using it now on Mañana No Mas, so it'll be interesting to see over time like how it really goes. But the integration with Lifter LMS was automatic and seamless, which to me is, I mean, that's that we're already knocking it out of the park. But then I'm already using Fluent CRM and Fluent Form, and then so that puts it together for me like a perfect suite of, it's just a perfect tech stack for a medium-sized training company.
Yeah, and the company and the founder, Joel, and his team has a large team in Bangladesh, and they've produced, they're part of the Fluent family, the Fluent CRM, Fluent Community, Fluent Forms, Fluent Booking. They've got a lot of Fluent. But it's all great stuff. And at WP Tonic, we've just recently added Fluent Cart. We'll be adding that to our offering, folks. Now, another one that has added some fantastic functionality that we've reviewed is Creative LMS.
Creator LMS.
Creator
LMS. It's interesting because there's, you know, there's different use cases for everything. Creator LMS is different in the back end than, say, a LearnDash or a Lifter LMS. It feels more sassy in the back end of the website, but it is coming out of the chute really strong with some added features that a lot of course creators or coaches would really appreciate. The newest thing they came out with last week was the ability to schedule and host live events through the platform. And so you can hook it up to either Zoom or I think Google Meet's coming next week. So you can hook it up to Zoom or Google Meet, or you could do in-person, right? So you could set up in-person events. But then you can set up these in-person events, you can sell access to these in-person events, and then you can integrate those events with your lessons, your courses, and you know, the other things that you're doing within your LMS. And so that's a real strong offer that's out there in the learning space. And it's a pretty new product. It took them like 3 years to make it, but we interviewed Sultan, their marketing guy, what, 2 months ago or something, Jonathan? When they first came out with that, and they've made consistent updates and tweaks since its release, and I actually did a review of the product on my Facebook, on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's it looks like it comes from a reputable company.
Rexthene.
Pardon?
Comes from Rexthene.
Right. And they do WP funnels and Mint.
Mailman.
And these are all tools that we provide at WP Tonic. And the truth is, though, we love Lifter LMS, but the one where the amount of development has really not been there for a number of years, but still very popular, is LearnDash, isn't it? The amount of development moving the product on. But there is, it's called technical legacy, isn't it? You know, where you've got a lot of old, and this is affects WooCommerce, because you want backward compatibility. You don't want to break things or break people's, and all software, you know, face this, you know, problem of how long do you support old software, and when do you need to make people update or move on to a more modern code framework, isn't it?
Yeah. It's unique, and I don't know enough about the inside workings of LearnDash, so I don't want to be out of pocket and say things I shouldn't say. I've just been really happy being a part of the team at Lifter and seeing some of the newness, some of the things that they keep moving forward with. I mean, in just the last year, they've redone social learning, they've redone private areas with some new automation tools. Cohorts isn't that old; that's been out. They've monetized groups now as a feature, and now they've got this new continuing education add-on that they've just released last week,
which is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, well, in my mind, overdue. Right. That's one of those things that people have been asking for a long time, but it's done. And so it's, you know, you can see the night and day difference between like something that's kind of holding steady and something that keeps forging forward.
Now, to finish off about Creator LMS, you were saying that they've got this, because actually, it's quite important. They've got this, if you want to book kind of community sessions, they've got automatic integration with Zoom and Google Meet, I think you were saying.
Yeah. And that to me is, that's something I wish Lifter had, right? So that's an element that Lifter doesn't currently have out of the box. You could put in Zoom integrations in your, pardon me, you could put Zoom integrations in your website and, you know, integrate that and figure out a way to work that out. But with Creator LMS, it's coming out of the box now.
Yeah, that's really handy. I think we're close up now, Kurt. I think we've covered a ton of stuff. So what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kurt?
If it's business, I'm at Mañana No Más. So Mañana No Más on all the socials and mañananomás.com. If you just want to make a connection on a personal basis or, you know, talk about anything else, that would be on LinkedIn. So I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn, which makes me super easy to find there.
Yeah. And if you're looking for more advice about building a membership website, marketing, all the things you need to know, sign up for the WP Tonic YouTube channel. Got over 1,800 videos. A lot of them are covering everything you need to build a successful membership community website. Load of material for myself, from Kirk, from other experts. It's a fantastic free resort. So go over to YouTube, WP, and find the WP Tonic channel and sign up, subscribe to it, and you will be notified when I'm publishing new videos every week, and you'll be notified. We will be back next week with more helpful, hopefully, knowledge to share with you so you can build a successful membership and community website for your business, for yourself, and for your family. We will be back next week, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.